Welcome to Helsinki China Podcast. My name is Julie Yuwen Chen, Professor of Chinese Studies at University of Helsinki, Finland. Join me today to talk about Taiwan's bubble tea is Martin Mendel. He's a PhD candidate at University of Vienna in Austria. Well, bubble tea, I don't know how many of our audience know about bubble tea, but it is a beloved Taiwan classic. Sometimes Taiwanese people call it Bo Ba Nai Cha, which means like a big breast tea. Sounds a bit funny. And actually, there are thousands of different variations of this bubble tea. But the essence of it is usually there's a tea and milk and then mixed with the bubbles. And the bubbles are essentially some small balls made of anything from tapioca to fruity kind of jelly. And Taiwanese people love it. And in fact, this bubble tea has also been exported to other countries around the world. I would say it's perhaps the only Taiwanese drink that has made its fame around the world. In Europe, for instance, I know a lot of big cities had a bubble tea shop in the United States, in Southeast Asia. However, I wouldn't say all those teas are really authentic Taiwanese bubble tea. Well, anyway, I don't want to tell you more about the bubble tea, but we have this expert, Martin, with us today. Because of his research, I think we can directly ask him about this bubble tea. So start with my first question, Martin. So can you tell a bit about yourself? What is your hobby? What have you done before? And what makes you to be interested in Taiwanese bubble tea?
Thank you very much for having me, Julie. It's a great honor and pleasure to be here and talk about my favorite topic, which is food and drinks of Taiwan. So basically, food has always been an interest in my life and a constant theme, so to say. There are stories my mother keeps telling. As a child, I was not even tall enough to reach the stovetop. So I brought a stool, stood on it, and then tried and helped to prepare the pasta for lunch. And then later on after school, I worked in the hospitality and catering industry in Vienna and abroad. And then after some time, I found my way kind of back to university and to research. And there, with this background, it's not surprising that, of course, I picked a food-related theme for my research. And this is Taiwan's gastrodiplomacy. So gastrodiplomacy, maybe if you're not familiar with the concept, is the idea of using food as a form of public diplomacy. So it's not really about having, you know, these state banquets and fancy dinners where presidents, head of states, diplomats meet. But it's more about how food is transported to a foreign audience, to a large foreign audience. So in this sense, when we talk about drinking Taiwanese bubble tea in Vienna or eating at the Taiwanese restaurant, this might be a form of gastrodiplomacy. Yeah, the concept is rather new. It was basically formed by two scholars, two American scholars, Paul Rockona and Sam Chappell-Sokol. And it's developing, and often East Asian countries are also used as prime models or as prime case studies for it. So in a sense, Taiwan is often referred to in the literature as one of the first countries to adopt a gastrodiplomatic program for itself. I doubt this a little bit. My research shows that a lot of what Taiwan did under the Ma administration, in starting from about 2010, was an economic stimulus plan for the own economy and to help export-oriented food producers, much more than the actual benefit of this gastrodiplomatic / public diplomacy idea. But nonetheless, Taiwanese food is more popular in Europe and the US as it used to be. CNN in 2015, for example, made a poll amongst its Facebook crowd, and they actually elected Taiwan as the place for the best food in the world, even before Italy or France or other well-known places for their culinary delights. So something is happening, and I'm very interested in what exactly is going on and how this also translates then into political leverage, so to say.
So have you noticed that there is any Taiwanese government ministry behind all this gastro-diplomatic action?
Well, the initial plans, as I said before, they were more of an economic stimulus plan. So, of course, the Ministry of Economic Affairs was involved, but it also included the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and, for example, the former Government Information Office that is now dissolved, but it's kind of the agency that is in charge of everything media and news broadcast related.
Right. So do you notice there's any special kind of food that they promote, as a Taiwan's classic cuisine or drink? Is bubble tea
yes,
one of them?
Bubble tea does appear more and more. Then there is also the oyster omelette, for example. This is also something that reappears. Luo fan, so the rice with the minced meat on top. The beef noodles, Niu Rou Mian. This is also something that reoccurs. And this is also where kind of my own background, interestingly, meets with my research interest, because as I just mentioned, Niu Rou Fan, for example, you will know that this is not something we could say is authentic Taiwanese in the sense that it has been there for centuries. Actually, until 1949, it is described that the eating beef was rather frowned upon because the cattle was needed for work in the fields. But then with the relocating Kuomintang soldiers, the habit of eating beef became much more prominent. And also many of them knew how to cook this noodle soup. And this was then their first income after the military. But in a sense, the Taiwanese government, as it is promoting these dishes, it's not saying that this is Taiwanese full stop. They're saying Taiwanese being a mixture of all these influences from different mainland Chinese regions, from the Japanese colonial past, but also from the Austro-Polynesian influences on the island. And this is what brings it back to me. This is very much how we would describe Viennese cuisine also, as being left over of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire and all the influences, all the people that came to Vienna at different stages of time and brought their own culinary traditions with them. And the mix is what created the special thing we call Viennese, or in the Taiwanese case, Taiwanese cuisine today.
Do you know how many bubble tea shops are there in Vienna, since you mentioned that Taiwanese cuisine are becoming more and more popular in Europe?
Yeah, there's actually a growing number of bubble tea shops. I don't have the exact number, but there is about 9 or 10, let's say, brands or shops that have now several locations in Vienna. That was very interesting for me to see, because it's kind of different to about 10 years ago or 12 years ago, when there was a first small wave of bubble tea coming to Europe. And there were a lot of small shops opening up, but they closed down soon again. So this was not a very long-lasting thing. And nowadays, it seems that it's, in a sense, more professional. There is more money being invested also in the shop designs, in the menu designs, everything around. And as I said, there's about 9 or 10 brands, if you want, that have several locations opened up in the stretch of a year and a half. So there's really quite something going on in terms of bubble tea.
You know, this reminds me of a very similar situation here in Helsinki, Finland. We also see bubble tea shops opening and closed down. And my own research, meaning I tested the drinks, I also through this testing, I realized some of these shops are owned by Hong Kong people or mainland Chinese people or even Thai people. So in fact, they offer a variety of different bubble teas in those shops in Helsinki. Well, what is the situation there in Vienna?
I would say it's similar, although For example, what you mentioned, I have this experience. My colleague Ute Wallenberg, she did some research in Switzerland, for example, also on the bubble tea shops. And she found that the majority there is referring the bubble tea to Hong Kong or Thailand, for example, not particularly to Taiwan. And this is not so much happening in Vienna. I haven't come across any Thailand or Hong Kong bubble tea, but there's also very limited reference to Taiwan. There's only one, I've only seen one shop so far, and this is more or less a private enterprise that makes direct reference to Taiwan. They even say, and I quote here from the website, they want to bring the real original Taiwanese boba experience to Vienna. So this is a rare incident where Taiwan is clearly mentioned. All the others are very vague. One brand has a clear Japanese theme. The name is a Japanese reference, and also some of the items on the menu, like matcha or mochi, the sweets, are referenced to Japan. But otherwise, there is not so much of a clear reference to the origin of any of these shops.
What would you say about a local consumer? Are they aware of this Taiwan identity, or for them just fun to try something from an exotic land?
Yeah, I think so far there's very little recognition of Taiwan through the bubble tea yet. I haven't done a full-scale study or interviews with consumers to give exact research findings with this. But it really began as a kind of a trendy thing amongst the population, I would say around 15 to 20 years old. And so the social media, of course, took a big role in all this. And the shops, these brands that I mentioned, they did a very good job also of building the brand around, building the image around, by the design of the shops, by the design of the cups and everything. So it's very much tailored for this young crowd, taking pictures, videos, using social media to distribute this. And during the pandemic, when only takeaway food was allowed, for example, you could see young people queuing in front of the bubble tea shops because there was, so to say, nothing much to do. So they all went to the bubble tea shops, got a cup, and then posted the pictures online and stayed in contact via this experience.
Yeah, I would say this is similarly in Finland. It's more like a young people, they will be curious about this kind of bubble tea shop. Well, my last question to you is about your study in the future. So what do you intend to do, and what can be research in this kind of direction on gastro diplomacy?
Yeah, I think the really interesting question, and you basically raised it yourself just now, is to look into the reception of bubble tea in Europe or in Vienna, as an example for Europe. There could be two possible things to study there. The one thing is the big topic of cultural appropriation, of course. So how, especially since you mentioned that in Helsinki, Thailand and Hong Kong is kind of a reference for bubble tea. Here in Austria, I would say it's not so clearly decided yet, but really to study how the consumers see this and whether they see it at all. That would be an interesting point. The other one, of course, is when we take a look at East Asia, bubble tea and in extension also milk tea has become a very strong political symbol in all of East Asia and also Southeast Asia to some parts, the so-called milk tea alliance, where suddenly this drink became a symbol for democracy, human rights. The question would be whether this resonates also with people, with young people here in Austria or in Europe. And for this, as I said, since social media played a big role in the bubble tea hype, it would also be a very interesting access point to see what are the discussions, what are the topics that go on around bubble tea.
Thank you, Martin, for sharing your insights with us. You have been listening to Helsinki China Podcast. I'm Julie Yuwen Chen, and then here we have Martin Mendel at University of Vienna. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Helsinki China Podcast, and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.